Hello there, and welcome to Sittingbourne Baptist Church broadcast for Sunday the 13th of September. I hope you're well and that you've been able to go back to school and it hasn't been too difficult and you found all your friends okay and teachers as well. And I know there's been quite a bit of difficulty with Sittingbourne schools, but I hope it hasn't affected you and you do your bit to make sure that we're able to keep schools open and keep everybody safe. So before we go any further, we're going to play our little game. So I am thinking of something. And with these five clues, hopefully you'll be able to guess what it is. For 5 points, it is something that you play with. For 4 points, it comes in different sizes. For 3 points, it is used in lots of sports. For 2 points, it is very spherical in shape. And for 1 point, it sometimes bounces. So, did you manage to guess what that was? Hopefully you said a ball, because that is what I was thinking of. Right, so today, again, using some of the notes by swapmeetdave.com, we're going to look at two parables, and they are both from Luke chapter 12. The first one is from verse 15 to 21. We'll probably start with verse 13 because that links up rather nicely to the reason why Jesus gives us this parable. So it is called the parable of the rich fool. Certainly hope that none of us will fall in that category. The rich part is okay, but the fool part, not so much. So in verse 13, it says, a man in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, tell my brother to divide with me the property our father left us. Jesus answered him, friend, who gave me the right to judge or to divide the property between you two? And he went on to say to them all, watch out and guard yourself from every kind of greed, because your true life is not made up of the things you own, no matter how rich you may be. Then Jesus told them this parable. There was once a rich man who had land which bore great crop. He began to think to himself, I don't have a place to keep all my crops. What can I do? This is what I will do, he told himself. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, where I will store the grain and all my other goods. Then I will say to myself, lucky man, you have all the good things you need for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, enjoy yourself. But God said to him, you fool, this very night you will have to give up your life. Then who will get all those things you have kept for yourself? And Jesus concluded, this is how it is with those who pile up riches for themselves, but are not rich in God's sight. Right, so there are a few other times that Jesus tells us to watch out or to beware, because this is not an expression that you use for, oh, watch out, there's a sale happening in Asda, or watch out, there's a dog crossing the road, you know, unless if you're somebody who's driving. But normally, watch out is given as a warning when there is great danger ahead. And you want people to be careful because you can see the danger. And there are two other times when Jesus uses the same expression when he's telling us to watch out for false prophets in Matthew. And then another time he tells us to watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees, which was their hypocrisy, where they said they would do one thing, but, you know, what they were saying they would do and what they were actually doing were two completely different things. And we can find that in Luke. So Jesus here is waving a red flag to warn us, and he's warning us a strong warning about greed and how we should not focus our lives on the things that we own. So our life is not made up of the things that we own. We might feel like we are better off than other people because maybe we have a car and they don't, or maybe our family has two cars and they only have one, and we think that makes us better off than them. But really, God is not against people being rich, because if you look at some of the people in the Bible, they were not just described as rich, they were described as being very rich, like Abraham. Jacob was very rich. Solomon was rich beyond measure. And Job was also very rich. So the rich fool here is not being criticized for being wealthy, but it's his attitude towards his wealth that we want to be careful of. Five times he says, he talks about my crops, and then he talks about my barns and my goods. And so he does that five times, and it makes you worry a little bit, because he is obviously spending a lot of time absorbed in thinking about his material goods. And so he's consumed by the thoughts of keeping things safe. I mean, building the bigger barns was wise, because if he had a lot of crops and he didn't keep them protected, if the rains fell, they would be destroyed. Or if the winds blew, they would be cast off all over the place. So building the bigger barns was a good idea. But what he thought is that because he had such a lot of belongings and a lot of goods and a lot of crops, that was enough to keep him safe. He did not stop to acknowledge the fact that his life was given to him by God, and that all the things that he possessed came from God. Even if he had to work for them, they are still things that come from God. Everything that we have, whether it's a house or good parents or whatever we have, has come from God. And we need to recognize and acknowledge that nothing that we have we could have got without God's help, because it's God that gives us the very breath we breathe. He's the one who keeps our heart beating. So how can we think that we have any power or that we are protected by the things that we own? And what the rich man wanted to do was he wanted to eat, drink, and be merry. But he forgot that saying is eat, drink, and be merry today, for tomorrow we will die. And that is true for each and every one of us. We do not decide what day we die and go to heaven. That's God's power and that's God's prerogative. He knows the right day for us, just like he knew the right day that we were going to be born. We did not get to choose that. And whatever we do, we have to remember that our life is not our own. It is a gift from God. Which is why we talk about the present. It is like a present from God. So nothing in this world can keep us safe and protect us. When it's our time to go, there is nothing that will stop us from dying and going off to meet God. So even if we are rich, we have to realize that the riches that we have been given to us for a reason. And we should use them for that reason. And Jesus also buttresses the point by saying that we need to be rich towards God. Well, now, what did he mean by that? So being rich towards God means recognizing that he gives us everything that we have. and that we should be using that for the purpose that he gave it to us. So even if we have lots of money, or if we have a car, I always think of my car as a gift from God. And so if I see somebody who needs a lift, I always try to help them out. It is wise to use things for the purpose that God has given them to us. We can help the poor and those less fortunate around us. We shouldn't trust our money to keep us alive and keep us safe. Only God can do that. And that's the main lesson from that. And now we're going to look at the eighth proverb, the eighth parable, which is about watchfulness. It's also in Luke chapter 12, but from verse 35. In this parable, it's called Watchful Servants. And from verse 35, it says, "Be ready for whatever comes, dressed for action and with your lamps lit, like servants who are waiting for their master to come back from a wedding feast. When he comes and knocks, they will open the door for him at once. How happy are those servants whose master finds them awake and ready when he returns. I tell you, he will take off his coat, have them sit down, and will wait on them. How happy they are if he finds them ready, even if he should come at midnight or even later." And you can be sure that if the owner of a house knew the time when the thief would come, he would never let the thief break into his house. And you too must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you are not expecting him. So this is again telling us about something that in that time would be very, very familiar, that servants would only go to bed once their master had returned home, and they would only get dressed for bed into their pajamas and their more comfortable clothes once that had happened. While the master was away from the house, they would keep the lamps lit, they would have food prepared, and they would have water ready and nice and warm, just in case he wanted to have a bath. And all the servants would be ready. As soon as the master knocked on the door, they would open the door and let him in and be ready to feed him and make him comfortable. And once the master was in bed, then they too could sleep. So this was something that people were very, very prepared for. And Jesus is saying that we should be ready for when he comes back to earth to take us up to heaven, that we should be waiting and watching for him to come back. We shouldn't get too relaxed, and we shouldn't sort of like just get tired. We shouldn't fall asleep and sort of think and complain that it's taking a long time, that we can't be bothered to be ready, that why do we have to do this? We need to be faithful disciples and followers of Jesus. We shouldn't be discouraged by the delay or anything else. So what would that look like in our lives? If we were discouraged, then we would be out partying, enjoying ourselves, and not putting on our right clothes. And our clothes could be some of those characteristics we looked in a couple of months back when we were looking at the things that Christians know, and we talked about the fruits of the Spirit and the type of characteristics that we should have, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are all the things that we can put on ourselves like clothes, being ready to be good to people and to be nice and to be kind and to show Christ's love in everything that we do. The lamps that are mentioned in the story that are meant to be kept burning is the love of God that is in us. And that could be like the light that shines all the time. We talked about the light in the last few parables. So that light that is Jesus in us must be kept burning. That means we must keep reading our Bibles, thinking and praying, and talking to God and still being a vibrant Christian, so that we are not tired and, as I said, getting weighed down. So what sort of things would weigh us down? If we were thinking and worrying about the world, if we were forgetting to spend time with God and to listen to the things that he tells us, all of those things can overwhelm us and take our attention away from being watchful servants, from being watchful to listen to when the master comes knocking, to listen for when Jesus comes back. And so we need to manage the resources. And we need to make sure that we're not overwhelmed by the anxieties of this life, by trying to have too many things, by trying to have all these possessions, just like we talked about in the last story, that the rich fool was so focused on his possessions, he forgot that everything that he has comes from God. And that when we go to heaven, or when we go before God, we will go as naked as the day we were born. We cannot take our shoes or our hats or our clothes with us. We can't take anything that we have gained in that time with us. We will be standing before God, and he'll be asking us about the things that we did and how we obeyed his word. He won't be asking us how many cars we had or how many pairs of shoes. That will not be the focus. So we must manage the resources that God gives us. We should be using our talents and our gifts and our money and our time to help others, encourage other workers that Jesus is coming and that they should be strong and that they should be ready. And we can also use this time to prepare ourselves and to make sure that we don't lose focus on God and the mission that he has given each and every one of us. So those are the two parables, and they are quite nicely linked in that both of them are warnings of one, not being ready to know when Jesus is coming, and not being ready in your attitude and in yourself and in your actions to meet with the master, but also being careful not to rely so much on possessions or the things that you have that you miss the fact that God is the one who gives us everything that we have. So I hope you enjoyed that. Before we go, let us pray. Lord, I just thank you for everyone listening to this, and I pray that you will help them to change their focus and change the way their attitude towards belongings, and also as they patiently wait for your return to take us up to heaven and a more peaceful time, that, Lord, you will encourage them and you will strengthen them and you will help them to keep the focus entirely on you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, God bless you, and I will see you next time. Bye.